Thank you, Darren and team. This is very nice. You know, like Gerald, I watched that royal wedding. And I think the guy that took the spotlight was the black American preacher. And he had the privilege of speaking to all of those people, and he got the privilege of speaking to them about love. Well, this morning, I have the privilege of speaking to you about hatred. And I'll just mention that I've spoken on a lot of things, but I've never before spoken on hatred, and I don't really find it all that easy. You might remember that sometime when I spoke, not all that long ago, I spoke on death. And I remember Darren saying to me, did you choose a subject or were you given the subject? And I kind of smiled and said, I chose it. In some ways, I'd rather speak about death than hatred. Hard to add humor into a sermon on hatred. In fact, I can't even put mathematics into a sermon on hatred. Very difficult. And so we look to the Lord for help as we consider this topic, because even though it's difficult to speak about, it's something that is very real, and it has been since Christ was here and continues to be so in 2018. But anyway, to start off with, I want to tell you a story. Now, this story is one of my favorite stories from the book of Acts, and it happened after the day of Pentecost, after the Lord had gone back to heaven. The apostles were still in Jerusalem, and Peter, it mentions, and the rest of the apostles were preaching the gospel. And as a result of their proclamation of the gospel, it says that a great multitude was being saved. Can you imagine? Not just one here and one there, but a great multitude was being saved and added to the church, and those who were sick were being healed. Now, as a result of all of this activity that was going on, the high priest and the religious elite of the day were furious. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I think they were likely so furious they were shaking. Have you ever seen anybody do that? They get so mad that they quiver. And I can just imagine this old high priest thinking he's so great, and all of the religious elite, and they are so angry that it would just make them shake. And so they had the apostles arrested, and it says that they were thrown into the common jail. Interesting that it tells us that it was the common jail, because that would tell us it really wasn't very fancy. It wasn't like the center here in Sault Ste. Marie. Guaranteed. Common jail. And so they put them all in jail, and then everything seemed to be going just great. And so they threw them into a cell, and they put guards at the door. But then that night, there was a prison break. Because what happened was, the angel of the Lord appeared. And he opened the doors of the prison, and all of the apostles were led out. And after he had led them out, he gave them some instructions. And he said, now here's what I want you to do. You just go back to the temple, and you just continue exactly where you left off, just as if nothing has happened. And so the next morning, early in the morning, Peter and the rest of the apostles, they get up good and early, no sleeping in, and they headed off for the temple, and they started to preach the gospel and tell people about the Lord Jesus and about his claims on their lives. Well, also early in the morning, the old chief priest got up, and all of the council of Israel, and they decided it's time that we gave these boys a real scare. And so they sent one of their lackeys to the jail. And so the lackey went to the jail, and everything looked like it was in order. The guards were standing at the door. holding their spears, looking furious, looking like these tough guys. And so then they took the key and they opened the door, and much to their surprise, nobody was there. So what happened was, the lackey then ran back to the chief priest and he told them, he said, nobody's there. And they said, what do you mean nobody's there? We threw them into jail. Well, he said, no one was there. And the guards didn't see anything. They were still standing at their post and they didn't see anything, but nobody was there. And just as he was telling his story, this other dude comes running in. And he says, guess what? I know where the apostles are. And the old chief priest says, well, where are they? They're in the temple. What are they doing? They're preaching. Oh, it was worse than ever. But then the chief priests and the elders knew that they couldn't just go and arrest them because the people wouldn't very much appreciate that. And so what they did is they went and asked them nicely, could you please come and meet with us? And so they did. And they gathered with the chief priest and the council of Israel. And when they had met together, the chief priest in all of his, power, he spoke up, and here's exactly what he said to the apostles. He said, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And Peter, I love his answer. And the other apostles, he says, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, you can read that story for yourself just by going to Acts chapter 5. But I love the words of the apostle when it was all said and done. We ought to obey God rather than men. Now, do you think that the apostles, when they were thrown into prison, when all of this took place, do you think that they were surprised at it happening? No, they weren't surprised. Because you see, they had been given a heads up that it was going to happen. They knew all along those things were going to happen because the Lord Jesus himself had given them heads up. You're going to be hated in the world. And these verses that we're going to look at this morning in chapter 15 of John is where the Lord Jesus is giving his disciples the heads up about what is going to happen. Now, here's the title that I was given, which is an excellent one, and it's Hated for Christ's Sake. Often when I'm looking at something, I like coming up with my own title as well. Yeah, the first one's a good one. But I also like the one I came up with. And the one I came up with is Hated but Loved. And it was interesting when Darren and the team were singing about God loving us. And so isn't that true that even though we might be hated by the world, yet at the very same time, we are loved by God. And if you want to know how much God loves you, then you just take a good look at that slide and see what's in the background. And that will give you an idea of how much you're loved of God, even though. Didn't like that. Even though you can be hated by the world. So let's, did you do that to me, Dave? Wasn't it? Oh. That's all right. I've had worse. Not much. Okay, so we're going to read the verses then in John's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning at verse 18. So the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin, but now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happens that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, that's the Holy Spirit of truth, proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now the Lord bless the reading of his word. And so as I mentioned, the Lord Jesus then is giving the disciples a little peek into the future, and he's telling them it's not going to be easy. You see, the Christian life was never promised to be easy. Christ loves us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But if you are, or if you become a Christian, it doesn't mean that you're going to be in a bed of roses. There's lots of persecution and trouble that can be associated with being a Christian. Now, if we take a look at verse 18, where it says there, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, the first thing I'd like to point out is that word if there is not an if of doubt. It's more like the word since. In other words, the Lord is saying, you be on your guard because this is going to happen. Because it hated me, it's going to hate you. Now, it's interesting in John's gospel, and I think we need to take a couple of minutes to talk about it. But John in his writings, how he uses the word world. There's actually three different meanings associated with the word world in John's gospel. And so as you're reading through and you find that word, and by the way, John uses that word more than anyone else, both in his gospel and also in his epistles. He uses the word world. And yet, it can have three different meanings. And so, the first thing is it can refer to, as many people would talk about, the physical created universe. He calls it the world. And in John 1 and 10, we have him using the word in that way. He says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. And so he's referring then to the physical world. But then, notice the end of the verse. He uses the word again. And he says, and the world did not know him. Does that mean that the mountains and the trees didn't know the Lord? Of course not. Because the word world can also refer to humanity. And so in there, in John 1 and 10, it's talking about humanity. And I couldn't help but bring in John 3:16. I mean, this is one of my favorite verses because it's a gospel verse, and I love the gospel. And it says that for God so loved the world. That doesn't mean that he loved creation. He liked creation. He thought it was good. He said it was good. But when it says that for God so loved the world, he's talking there about humanity. In other words, he's talking about everyone that's in this room this morning. God loves us. And he loved us so much that he gave his one and only, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I am so thankful for that verse. And I am so thankful that I can tell you this morning that I have believed in him In my sin, God reached down. God reached down to where I was, as Andrew was saying this morning. And he lifted me up from my sin. And he gave me eternal life. And the reason that he could do that was because he sent his Son into the world of humanity. And the Lord Jesus came and gave his life. Thank God for that. I hope you know the Savior this morning. I hope you know him as your Savior. Because if you don't, that is absolutely your greatest need. And it's a need that you can take care of today. Because the Bible tells us that, behold, now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. And so the Lord Jesus is willing and ready to save even today. And so it can be the world of humanity. But then the third way that world is used is he's referring to the evil system. It's a system that's dominated by Satan. It opposes God, his word, and his people. Now, I've got three different verses up there of where the world is used in that sense. The Lord Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, he's in the upper room. He's going to be going out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world, and the ruler of this world is Satan himself. That's who's being referred to there. He says, the ruler of this world, that evil system dominated by Satan, he's coming. And then if you go to John's epistle, he gives us some instruction as believers. He says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That doesn't mean that we don't love creation. I hope you appreciate creation. You know, I mentioned Andrew there this morning. Ruth and I are going on a little trip to Alaska. One of the reasons we chose Alaska is because I love creation. I love looking at creation. So that isn't what it means. It doesn't mean that we should not love humanity. In fact, the Bible instructs us in just the opposite. We're even to love our enemies. But what he's talking about is that evil system. A system that's been generated by Satan himself. That's opposed to everything that God wants. And Paul or John is saying, do not love that world. And then here in this particular scripture that we're looking at, John can say, if the world, that evil system, hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. I like to think just for a second about the relationship between Jesus and the world, as given to us in John's gospel. It's quite interesting for me anyway. You might be surprised at a math teacher being interested in words, but you know, just looking at the way that things are used. And first of all, it says that Jesus came into the world. Well, that's got to be the physical world, doesn't it? That's where he came. He came from heaven, down from the glories of heaven. Jesus came into this old sinful world to provide salvation for you. And he came and he knew that he was going to leave and he was going to go back to the Father. But before he left, he had to be a sacrifice for sin. And so he came into the world, and then he loved the world. We've already looked at that verse. He loves humanity. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And then in John 8 and 23, he says, you are of this world, but I'm not of this world. And of course, that could be taken maybe different ways. But you know, we all started out, all of us in this room this morning, we started out as part of that evil system. The only reason that we're not part of that evil system now is if we have accepted Christ as Savior, if we have his salvation, if we're one of his own. But the Lord Jesus was never part of that system. Oh, I'm going in the wrong direction. Now, This is interesting from our chapter as well, and I'm trying to illustrate it here. I like doing illustrations and seeing what I can come up with. So I'm wanting to talk about the hatred now that the Lord was talking about here. And so here we have the situation. You notice the world, and we're talking about that evil system. And then you have the Lord Jesus himself, who is separate from that evil system. And so what happens is that that world has displayed its hatred to the Lord Jesus. In fact, the scriptures that we read tell us that they hated him without a cause. They couldn't find any fault in him. No fault to be found. But they just hated him because he came and he revealed their sin. Basically, that was the bottom line. Now, because they hate him, then that hatred is carried on to Christians. If Christians are hated in the world, that's why. At least that should be why. We shouldn't give the world reason to hate us because of our behavior. But if we're hated, if Christians are hated, it's because they're associated with Christ. That's why. And then that same scripture that we read this morning said that they even hate the Father because of his association with the Lord Jesus. And then even though it's not in the text that we read, I can tell you that that world, that hate, also extends to the Bible. The world system hates God's word. That's why they're always trying to change it. That's why they're always trying to rewrite it. That's why they're always trying to come up with their own way. Because they can't stand. They absolutely hate the Bible. And thank God this morning for those of us gathered here. And we love it because we know it is the word of God. And because it tells us concerning the Lord Jesus. And so that's how this hatred works. They hated the Lord. And then that hatred is extended. Now, you know, you might say, well, that's okay, but, you know, we're living in an enlightened age, right? Like, this was written over 2,000 years ago. These men were associated with Christ personally. And so if the people of that day hated him, then if they knew he was his disciples, then I can kind of understand why they would hate the disciples, right? But what about now? Like we're living in a world where, you know, we're trying to fight hate. We're spending all kinds of money to try and fight bullying, right? That's a big thing right now. Do you think Christians get bullied? Well, I think they do. Should we be surprised? No, because the Lord gave us the heads up that it was going to happen. You know, I was looking on Google just the way Darren was, and I got this off of Google, and it's according to Fox News. And that is that between November the 1st, 2015, to October 31st, 2016, so that's in 1 year, it was documented that as many as 1,207 Christians were killed around the globe for hate or for faith-related reasons. Did you get that number? 1,207. And then it goes on to say, but this is a conservative estimate because it does not include statistics from North Korea and large areas of Iraq and Syria. During that same time period, a total of 1,329 churches were attacked worldwide for faith-related reasons. The world system hates the church. The world system hates Christians, and that has been displayed. But then you might say, well, okay, that's North Korea, that's Syria and Iraq. We know about those countries, but what about North America? Aren't we better? Like, is it as bad? No, I don't think it's as bad, but it's there. I mean, you read about it in the news of these same kind of things. But then on different levels, Christians have experienced hate. Perhaps we have someone in here this morning, and when you became a Christian, the rest of the family turned against you. There have been people in North America that have trusted Christ as Savior, and as a result, they're no more welcome to come home. Why is that? Because of their relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's why. One of my brothers, Ken, works at the hospital as a custodian. Now, Ken is very evangelical, and he does a great work one-on-one, far better than I am. And so one day he walked into a hospital room, and there was a poor lady in there who was dying of cancer. And this lady started to talk to him, and she was telling him that she was afraid to die. Now, Ken has hope that's true, that's built upon a rock. And his hope is real. And so he told her about his hope. And then the next day when he came back in, he was talking to her again, and he gave her a tract, God's Way of Salvation, because that was that poor dying woman's greatest need. Within a day or two, he found himself sitting in front of the administration. The girl's boyfriend had come in and found the track and went ballistic that anyone would give her that kind of information. And as a result, my brother was told, you never do that again. That was his warning. You think it's not in Canada? People hate the Lord Jesus. They hate the Word of God, and they express that hate in many different ways. Now, I'm going to skip some things here, just because I'm slow. So let me... Okay. I'm just going to fly here. Just shut your eyes for a minute. Oh, here's a little illustration I wanted to show you. This here's my illustration of salvation. I'd far rather preach on salvation than hatred. So here it is. Here's my little illustration. You see, when you take all of humanity, humanity's divided into two groups. The Bible does it in many different ways. We have all kinds of divisions, don't we? We divide by race. We divide by language, color, right? We get all these divisions. But when it comes to the Bible, you're saved or you're lost. You're a believer or you're a non-believer. Right? Like there's no middle ground. And so either you're one of Jesus' own or you belong to the world. Right? There's no other way. But here's the interesting thing. You see how that Jesus is the one that separates his own from the world. Because he has chosen his own out of the world. And so what it's possible to do is this. To go from the world, not being one of his own, to being his own. My favorite topic. And there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No other way. But then you know what else I rejoice in just as much? I rejoice in this. See that? Impossible. Once in Christ forever. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. So that was that little illustration. This one we're going to skip as well because I want to get to my last one because I don't like keeping you over time. Tips on how to react to hatred because we're going to experience hatred. A lot of these tips come from Peter, actually, and you'll find it in the Epistle of Peter. Ways to react to hatred. And I've got 10 tips. That I just like to leave you with. The first one is, don't be surprised. You know, don't think, well, why is this happening to me? Remember, the Lord Jesus said, it will happen. So don't be surprised. The second one is, don't try to avoid it. Now, I think as Christians, we try to avoid it a lot of times, and I can understand that. But hatred is going to come, and God is bringing it into our lives, and he's doing it for a purpose. So we're not to try to avoid it. And then this is difficult as well, but we're to return love for hatred. We're hated by the world, but we're loved by Christ. And that love that Christ has for us, we are to extend to the world. And even though someone is acting towards us in hatred, we are supposed to respond in love. And I'll tell you something, sometimes that's tough to do that. But that's what the Bible says. And then it's important to keep our eyes on the Lord. Remember that he was the one who was hated first. And we can look at him and see how he handled that hatred. His hatred started right at his birth, didn't it? Herod was the first one that expressed his hatred. And that hatred continued until his death. And even continues beyond his death. So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We should count, now this is from Peter, is that we should count it a blessing if we suffer for the name of Christ. Now, is that easy to do? Might be for you, but it's not for me. Suffering isn't my favorite thing, I have to let you know. And we're not to be ashamed. I already mentioned that one. There could be things that we do need to be ashamed of in our behavior. But if we suffer for the name of Christ, don't be ashamed. It's an honor. It's a privilege to suffer for the Lord. Use it to build character. Because that's the purpose of persecution in our lives. That's what God uses it for. And the Bible tells us that. So rather than going down under the persecution, use it to build character. Glorify God in our sufferings. Isn't that the purpose of our lives? Is to bring glory to God. And so regardless of what comes into our lives, we need to glorify God. This is for Bethel. Like, this is one of our favorite sayings, isn't it? And it's true. God is good. Right? Like that's one of our sayings. It's easy to say it here today. But if you were sitting in prison for your faith, it's still true. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the hatred that we might be facing, God is good all the time. He has a purpose in everything that he does. And then my final one, from the top 10 here, is this one. It's better to be loved than to be liked. Now, you agree with that? I think sometimes, and this is my opinion, I think sometimes, because I'm looking at myself, I spend too much time trying to be liked by the world. So rather than taking a stand, I might just keep quiet. Because I'm afraid that if I say something, if I tell them what the Bible has to say, they won't like me anymore. But we don't need to worry about being liked by the world. Instead, what we need to think about is the fact that we're loved by the Lord Jesus. So the world might hate us, but he loves us. And he gave himself for us. And if there's anyone here this morning who have never experienced that love, our prayer would be that you would. And for those who are going to face persecution, you know, it's tough to speak on this when you're me. I was born into a Christian family. When I got saved, everybody rejoiced. It's what they had been praying for. I married a beautiful Christian girl. Like, everything has been going good. So how do you get up and speak on enduring the hatred of the world? God has his plans for each one of us. We never know what we're going to face. We know the past, but we don't know what's coming at us in the future. But we do know who holds the future, and we know that he will never leave us, and he will never, ever forsake us. But perhaps you're here this morning, you're saying, well, that's nice for you, but it wasn't that way for me. Remember that no matter what you're going through, God knows, and he loves you, even though the world might hate, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. You know, when it comes down to it, there's nothing more important than to be saved. I hope you're saved today. I hope you know Christ as Savior. Anyway, just as we close, I didn't do too bad, minute and a half. There are a couple other announcements. Andrew didn't tell us, but he's going in for an operation, and that's this week. And it's Thursday, I believe. And so when we close in prayer, I want to pray for Andrew. And oh, he's my friend, but I do want to pray for Andrew that the Lord will bless him. The operation will be successful, Andrew. And whatever you do, do as you're told. Right? Now, I have one other, I know Andrew pretty well. I have one other good announcement, too. This just came in after I sat down. It was from Jim Linklater. And he said, I will do the horseshoe tournament. So even though I'm not going to be able to be here, because I usually look after the horseshoe tournament, it's going ahead. And so there will be a sign-up sheet, and Jimmy Linklater will be looking after the horseshoe tournament. So again, thanks for coming. We will close in prayer, and may God bless each one of us. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, the one who came into the world to give himself as a sacrifice for our sin. We thank you that as we gather here this morning, that we are loved with an everlasting love. And Father, we would rejoice in the love of Christ today. And we know from his words to the disciples that things won't always be easy, that the world hates him. And because it hates him, that hatred will be spilled out upon his people. But our Father, we pray that each one of us would ever keep our eyes upon the Lord. And regardless of what happened, that we'll remain true and strong to him. Bless us now as we separate. Bless each family as they gather together. And we just commit all into your care. In Jesus' name, amen.